flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was August of 2016, shortly after Philando Castile was killed, that my then 10-year-old son, Andrew, wrote a letter to the governor. He actually wrote a letter by himself. This was not something I helped him with. And he had it printed in a Spokesman Recorder newspaper. And Carrie Dietzick got a hold of the letter. It wasn't even addressed to her. It was addressed to the governor. And she invited Andrew and our family to the Capitol and talked to him about some of his concerns. And the main point of Andrew's worry at the time was that his two brothers, Brandon and Daniel, at the time could not talk because of their autism. They were nonverbal. And he wanted to know what would happen if an officer said, "Stop or I'll shoot." And they didn't understand what he was saying. And they would get shot because they wouldn't stop. And so that touched Carrie Dietzick's heart. And so she invited Andrew and our family to her office. She talked to Andrew and she started a legislation based on that conversation to fund autism officer training. She worked for 4 years to get that bill passed so that police officers would understand and know how to interact with adults and children with autism. And I'm forever grateful for that. And that began our friendship. And so my heart was broken this morning when Susan Kent called to tell me that our friend Carrie Dietzick had died. Susan is joining me on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Susan, I am just in such disbelief right now.
Oh, Shaletta, and now you've got me crying all over again. That's one of my favorite stories about Carrie Dietzick. It's so typical of who she is.
Yeah. Just wanting to do more, wanting to help, not waiting for somebody to call her name, but seeing that there's an issue and wanting to create a solution. She didn't have to take up that cause. She's not even our legislator. She's all the way in Minneapolis. I'm all the way in Cottage Grove. But she saw a need and knew she needed to do something. Talk to me about your relationship.
I was just saying, believe me, she had a long list of things to take care of for people.
Right, for her own people. Right, right, right. And they were calling. They were calling her, and she was calling me.
Calling you. And like that's what I mean. That is such a typical Carrie story. And to be like creative and see a problem and be able to find a solution and work towards it and make it happen. And it was always about caring for people. And I just, you know, I'm just... so sad. I'm so sad. She was just an amazing person. You know, in this time when we always think about, you know, some negative things, maybe about some political people. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope everybody takes some time to think about our friend Carrie Buzek, because she was the best of people who go into politics in the way that Paul Wellstone role modeled for all of us, to make a difference in people's lives, to improve people's lives. And that's who she was. And then she was just smart, and she worked her you know what off, and mm-hmm. she was funny as hell.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm.
And just a kind, good friend. Yeah.
Now, you got to tell me, speaking of a kind, good friend, that was the beginning of my friendship with her. How did you all meet?
Well, Carrie had been elected to the Senate shortly before I was. She was elected in a special election, and then I was elected later that year. And as an incoming freshman, and of course, I was completely a newbie. I was a stay-at-home mm-hmm. mom who'd been, you know, advocating with our local the school district that you and I share, our local school board.
Right.
And people said, you should run. And I did, and I didn't know what I was doing. And so they gave me two mentors. I think they figured I need extra help. And one of them was the highly regarded stateswoman, Anne Rest. And then mm-hmm. the other one was Carrie Buzek. And so Carrie was my mentor, and she took me under her wing, and she was just kind to me and helped me learn things to do. And when I had questions, I knew she would never treat me like a fool. And so that's how we got to be friends. And then, you know, we had this funny thing. She and I were both really pale skinned with dark hair, and we mm-hmm. would always show up at work kind of wearing the same outfits. Like, we both wear purple on the same day. It was one of those funny things that you have with someone you work with. And we just, I think we enjoyed each other. I just posted a picture. She and I went to the fishing opener outside of Wilmer.
Uh-huh.
I think this was 2017. And it was hilarious. It was cold. It was a very cold day out on that lake, but she and I had a ball, and we have these pictures that we just would laugh about. And we had a great time, just the two of us out there. And just, yeah, so many great memories.
And, you know, she became the leader in the Senate.
Yep.
And during her first month as majority leader, she announced her cancer diagnosis.
Yep.
She had several medical procedures done, but she still worked remotely, and she
yep.
never missed a vote. I mean,
yep.
this woman is really, you know, she was really someone who was there for the people.
That's right.
You know, just talk to me about the example that she set. She was a role model for you and a mentor, but
yeah.
you know, for so many, especially women in politics and in business, she was the gold standard.
Yeah. Well, I had been the leader of the caucus. I was the first woman leader of our caucus before her. But we were in the minority, right? And so that's mm-hmm. a complicated job, but that is nothing like being the leader of the majority when you have to hold your caucus together. And it was just a one vote majority. And it was a sign of the respect that those members have for her. And we are going to hear from people in the coming days. I think some pretty remarkable stories, but the respect they had for her and how much she cared and how dedicated her work was to making people's lives better, even if people don't always agree on what that means in terms of an actual policy solution, because you know nobody agrees with everybody 100% of the time.
Right.
They respected her vision. They respected her goals, and she was able to help them see the shared vision and the shared goal, and enact some major things that will make a difference in Minnesotans' lives for so many years to come. I carried that paid family and medical leave bill for 6 years, and it never got a hearing in the Senate. And then when they had the majority, they enacted that. And people are going to see in the coming years what a difference that makes for people to be able to take time out when they have an elder parent who is dying and they need time mm-hmm. to help care for them, or a sick kid, or when they have a baby. You know, there are so many reasons that people need that time. And that is just one of those basic things that I think every Minnesotan will be touched with. And Carrie was a huge part of getting that hat over the finish line.
And, you know, all eyes were on Minnesota when she was fighting cancer, and, you know, she was trying to keep the party together and, you know, making sure that everybody, you know, stayed connected. She stayed connected, even though, you know, we would have just been, we would have absolutely understood if she, you know, concentrated and focused on her own health and took some time away. And that would have just absolutely been respectable. But she got up every day and put on her little wig, honey, and she went to work, whether it was in person or remotely, you know, not, you know, even thinking about her own condition, sacrificing her body. And, you know, you see the productivity. It was a highly productive session for the DFL. A long list of progressive bills passed, restoring voting rights for felons after they're incarcerated, protecting reproductive rights, the paid family leave, the free meals for school children, regardless of their ability to pay. You know, none of that gets done if she's not there as a leader. So many people, men and women, look up to her. Talk to me about her time, you know, in the legislature and what it means for Minnesota. Like you said, people are going to be talking in the coming weeks and you're going to be hearing more and more stories. But, you know, her consistency, her tenacity, her bravery, her courage, you know, is something that is absolutely undeniable.
Oh, yeah. And again, smart. So one of the things that I learned, again, I was just a normal, you know, suburban mom when I ran for office, right? I did not fully understand. I still don't fully understand tax policy. But boy, Carrie did. She was on that tax committee and she understood the very intricate nature of tax policy. And, you know, a lot of people like to talk about tax cuts, but most of the time when they talk about tax cuts, those are tax cuts that are really going to benefit the super wealthy and are going to not really give much back to working families. And Carrie understood the details of how taxes work so that she could craft policies that would make sure the people who needed the help are the ones that got it. And that's a very, very oversimplified version of some very complex legislation. But she did that and she was creative. And those are the things that make a difference to people, you know? And, and so, I mean, this is where people, you know, I sometimes think people's eyes glaze over, you know, when we start talking about the details of that kind of stuff, but it is in the details that you make a difference. And she cared about those details. She understood them. Like I said, she was so smart. And she was so creative. I mean, I remember we would be working on big bills and how we, you know, we're going to bring forward different amendments on the floor. And she was able to come up with these ideas. And then she wouldn't do them herself. She would make sure that if it was something that was an education focused tax credit, she would make sure that that tax credit was put forward by somebody, you know, where in their district it really mattered. And she was just thoughtful like that, like smart thoughtful, but also generous thoughtful in making sure that everybody had a chance. You know.
Right. And caring. Mm-hmm. And you did not have to live in her district for her to do that. Susan, I'm going to ask you to stick around for one more segment because there are some things that I want to continue to talk about as we remember the life of our friend Carrie Dietzick, one of which is when she lost her hair and how she made sure that other people going through cancer who needed wigs covered by insurance would have that taken care of. More about my friend Carrie Dietzick when we come back.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some from my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
It is 1:52. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. And I don't know anyone I would want to talk to more about the life and legacy of my friend Carrie Dietzick than Susan Kent. She put up a social media post that says, "So sad today. Former Senate Majority Leader Carrie Dietzick was the very best public servant, dedicated to the well-being of Minnesotans, especially those in her community. Super smart and hardworking, delightful." So many other adjectives. I will cherish countless memories. Rest in peace, Carrie. And the photos are just amazing. They're also heartbreaking to know that our friend is no longer here. Susan Kent, I felt like my soul left my body when you sent me the text during the show that our friend had died.
Yeah, that's the way I felt too when I heard the news. Yeah.
And even though she has gone on, her legacy, her work is still here with us. Listen to this. Did you know this? That she personally sponsored a bill to make sure that cancer patients would have their wigs covered by insurance if they lost their hair. That law does not go into effect until next week. So she still, even though she has died, is making a difference.
Yeah. I mean, the ripples of her work will go on, I believe, for generations. And you know, knowing Carrie, that's why she did it. You know, that's why she gave so much. That's why she worked so hard, because she really believed that was the role of people who were trusted to make these decisions on behalf of the people. And she just embodied it with every breath. And that's why this is such a huge loss. And even as you say those words, because I'm still processing all this, you know, we are gonna figure out a way to honor Carrie Dietzick's legacy, because even though her tenure as a leader was short, it was powerful and significant in a way that any of us who have a responsibility to the public would hope we could do. But she absolutely did it.
And, you know, she is such an example. I had to up my community service. I had to up my giving. I had to up the work that I do, because you cannot hang around a Carrie Dietzick and keep it as business as usual and just worry about my four and no more. This woman is helping folks, whether they live in or outside of her district. It's going to make the state of Minnesota better. She was all about it. Now, as sick as she was, she's watching The View. And she called me from her bed. And she was like, "Hey, girl, what are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm working. You're supposed to be laying down. What are you doing?" She said, "Well, I'm watching The View, and they have a woman on here who her son is autistic, and he kept getting, harassed by the police, and, because they didn't understand his condition and his situation. And so the lady started, a law, whatever state she lived in, where if you have autism, they put that on the driver's license." or the ID of the adult with autism, so that when police will pull you over, or you know, they encounter you on the street, they'll have to wonder or question. It's right there on the license. She was like, "Would you like to do something like that?" I was like, "Would you like to lay down and rest, huh, ma'am?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, of course." And she was like, "I'm on it." And she's over there. She's supposed to be resting. She's supposed to be, you know, letting her body heal, taking doctor's orders, you know, not getting involved. She's supposed to be cooling out. And here she is, you know, trying to find a way to make it better for my children.
That's right. And all of our children. That's right. Yes.
Oh, my God.
That is the amazing person that Carrie was. And I still can't believe it. But, yeah, exactly. When I talked to her last, she had struggled fighting insurance, as everybody does, and she was turning that into legislation when we had a conversation earlier just this year. That's what she was doing. She was learning from her own experience and realizing that if she was having these troubles, given, you know, she had good insurance, and that it must be that much harder for everybody else. We got to fix this. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You know, I don't think that we can really, you know, put a handle on, you know, the impact that her life and legacy has on Minnesota politics. I think we're going to be unpacking that for quite a long time. What, you know, I know for me, one of the things that I'm most grateful for is that autism officer funding legislation that she passed, so that, you know, there's money behind the funding, there's training, right. There's a budget for it. And, you know, my sons now who have autism are, you know, 12 and 10, but at some point they're going to be 22 and 20. And,
right.
You know, if officers are getting that training and they interact with my children, they'll know that they're nonverbal. And so I just, you know, appreciate her for that. I appreciate you for being here. Susan Kent, thank you so much for joining the Shaletta Show and taking time out of your day to be here.
Absolutely, Shaletta. Thank you for taking time to honor Carrie.
And you all stick around. There'll be more to come.